Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, man, some important things on the agenda in today's edition of Forum. Wada Hartley's in the building, Mary Lou's in the building. Wada, tell me about these two oaks sitting to your left, though.
These are the Josie's Trend Men. It's Alan and Christian from alanandchristian.com, and they're fabulous.
Your check's in the mail, Wada.
You don't have to pay me, boo. You live up to the hype.
Yeah. Thank you, Wada. We love you.
But hang on now, because Christian, you weren't so nice to Wada just now about the eyelash extensions, bro.
Whoa, I didn't know that was going to be brought up.
I didn't even know that he'd heard that.
I know.
So I'm taken by surprise.
My posse can hear everything.
Hang on, because I watched Wada's Snapchat yesterday, and like, I was there in that process. She was snapping, and then she was extending the eyelashes, and I didn't actually know that could be done. But what was that process?
It was quite interesting. It was a 2-hour process. I at one stage, halfway through probably, I regretted.
2 hours.
It takes 2 hours to do.
2 hours.
But you fall asleep though.
Yeah,
we'll
actually,
get to you.
My snoring.
We'll get to you and your teeth whitening in a second.
My snoring actually woke me up at one stage. I was so embarrassed, like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, did you wipe the drool?
No, I didn't drool. Thank goodness, but. My eyes, I forgot to take my contact lenses out. I didn't think about it. So I left them in. So it was like starting to burn after a while, and I just had to like endure it. So it's a little bit sensitive now, my eyelids. I'm getting used to it. I do look like Bambi, Christian.
That's what I said to her. I said,
I think it looks nice. I like it.
It does look good.
I didn't know that she was auditioning at Beefcakes. Okay. I will support any career decision
she
makes.
Listen, this is, you can only say this because he's my friend, but let's just let the beauty blogger in the room weigh in on this. Mary Lou, over to you. What is your professional opinion on my eyelashes?
I think they're stunning. And you know what? What's really important is that it cuts your get ready time by literally half in the morning.
Proper. I did that this morning. I just did my foundation, a little bit of bronzer. Uh-huh. Done. Out the door.
Exactly. You don't need to do anything else.
Nothing else. Yeah.
And it stays for like 2 months.
It does.
Well, I'm just trying to work out how you fell asleep when somebody's fiddling with your eyelashes.
You know what they do? It's quite a scary thing. They put this padding underneath your eye, which is nice because it like moisturizes under here. But then they take this tape and they literally like tape your lids sort of just to prop them up so that your eyelashes stick up like that. And yeah, you just kind of like, and then they give you a foot massage. I don't know if that was standard. Is that standard? I don't know.
No, I think
massage.
Yours is a special one.
Aww,
I didn't get any.
Sweet.
Yeah, yours looked cool though with those big black chairs. I love how connected I am to everyone's life on Snapchat, by the way. Because it was yesterday that I watched you getting your teeth whitened. Hey,
yes, I totally want to go to your lady. Your teeth look
She's
amazing.
Really good.
She has. I'll tell everyone now. She has purple gloves because you made a snap about that.
All the purple
so
stuff.
So cute. I mean, like, why would you go to the dentist that wear blue gloves, guys?
Yeah.
Blue gloves. So
but you
boring.
Said your teeth are sore today.
It is. It was a bit, well, yesterday more so. Immediately after you bleach your teeth, they are a bit dehydrated, and you do get what my friend Yona calls a zing of pain. So it's like a bit of sensitivity that comes and goes, but it's that horrible toothache feeling. You know when you bite into something that's really cold or really hot or really sour or really sweet? It's kind of like that. But luckily, you only bleach like the front 8 teeth, top and bottom, because that's the ones that show. So it's not too bad. Yeah, today's fine. But yesterday I was like, oh my gosh, I lived off painkillers afterwards.
Is it? And then somebody told me that coconut oil works if you gargle with it for like...
Yeah, but you have to do it for like, what, 2 minutes? Imagine gargling coconut oil for 2 minutes every day. Ew.
Yeah, it is kind of gross.
It's kind of disgusting.
Anybody had any other treatments of late that have been interesting?
I'm feeling totally left out at the moment. Teeth whitening, eyelashes done. I feel like I need to get something done.
Well, low pain threshold here, so I'm not having anything done.
All right, let's talk about this fashion week that happened last week. First of all, who cracked the front row?
These two.
We did.
You cracked the front row. How does that work?
Well, there is actually a story behind that. I'll let Alan elaborate.
Yes, we actually were told we weren't sitting front row.
Oh.
Okay, so then we said we weren't coming.
Oh.
Yes. So then they contacted us and said, okay, we'll put you front row so that you can come.
Wow.
Yes.
Look at you boiling out of control here. I've never even cracked an invitation to backstage.
It's hard to get those tickets, but you know what the weird thing is? When you actually go and you see who's in the front row, and you're like, but why is this person there? And you're like, how did they get it right? You know, and they're not celebrities. They're not anyone. They're like assistants to publicists or whatever. the junior publicist and the, and you're like, no, come on.
But my best was somebody on Facebook posted three pictures of them sitting like in row three or four, and they like fashion editors, and they're sitting there and they put on Facebook and then they captioned it, can't see shit. And the next one was, still can't see shit.
Oh,
and then
no.
The third one was, cannot see a thing.
No, but that's the thing. Like, how does a fashion editor get placed in row four and then guaranteed, I'm willing to put money on it and you guys can confirm, I'm sure there were just like some just everyday people.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Sitting in the front. And the thing is, for the fashion people, there's a reason that they have to sit in the front row. It's not necessarily just a status thing. It's become that, but you actually have to see the clothing. Otherwise, I can just go onto Snapchat or Instagram and have a look at the clothing there. Mm. You want to see the clothing. You want to see the detail. That's actually the reason you're meant to be sitting in the front row. Yes. There's actually purpose behind it.
Yeah.
So.
So are front row tickets like, can you purchase them?
No.
Like,
no.
Yeah,
no.
No.
But you can purchase tickets.
You can purchase
tickets. But it's actually quite a rip-off, the purchase tickets, because they're for the worst seats. They're for the absolute worst seats.
Why would anyone?
Yeah.
Why would anyone buy tickets for South African Fashion Week?
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, some people, like, you know, regular people, they don't know, first of all, that they're buying bad seats, because what they also do, the sneaky thing is, front row is not row A. Front row is row H or E.
Yeah.
So, and row A is up at the top. So now, as a pleb, you're buying row A and you're like, oh, great, I got in early, I got row A. And meanwhile, row A is in the nosebleed section.
But one of the more recent trends, it didn't happen at this last Fashion Week, but it is happening at SA Fashion Week, which is happening in the first week of April, is that everybody's going to be sitting in the front row.
Yes.
So the way they've done the configuration, and we've seen this overseas, like at the
Chanel,
Dior show,
the Chanel show.
At quite a few shows where everybody's in the front row, which kind of makes more sense.
And then it's fair.
Really, really.
Well, they've designed it almost like a snaky kind of a runway, so that everybody's going to see everything as it happens.
I think that's fair. I think that's nice, because it's going to take away this, you know, like this constant fight for front row. Mm. And also then, you know, like a normal person, quite fairly, who's paying for a ticket, should have the right to sit in the front if they really wanted to.
But like, I don't know if it's still like this, but I remember when I was invited for Fashion Week, like, maybe, like, a year or two ago. And so, like, after everyone who has tickets are seated, so 5 minutes prior to the show, they open it to the public.
Yes, they always
do that. So you actually don't need to buy tickets.
Mm.
You can just stand outside and wait, which is what a lot of people do, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
Is it still like
that? And so many people have learned that trick. So, like, stay in the standby queue, and then when they open it, you just come in. And these days, it is quite empty, and that is, you know, a problem at the moment, is because there's so many fashion weeks that the public are thinking, well, you know, they're not buying tickets anymore. And
I saw some of the shows were quite empty. I was surprised.
So let's get down to the actual fashion. Was it good? Was it bad?
We actually thought it was particularly good this season. You know, in terms of Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week Joburg, it's generally quite a strong showing, but it was particularly good because a lot of the designers are bringing through quite a modern African aesthetic, and it was quite pleasing to see that. So African design is really growing up, and it's definitely becoming more recognized internationally. And we thought we were really impressed by many of the collections.
Hmm. Mm. Alan?
Yeah, I mean, we were also trying to see if we could spot some of the trends that we identified at the beginning of the year. We saw them at SA Menswear Week recently. That was very evident.
Town,
that was
right?
one in Cape Town, yeah. We saw them there pretty much in every show that we saw. Here we weren't quite sure if we were going to see them, and they were actually kind of like African interpretations of the trends we've seen. So I would say, like, in the last 3 months, we've already grown from just those, like, international trends and turned them into African trends.
Hmm. Well, listen, kudos to them. I felt really bad because I don't get the best feedback on these fashion weeks from the different people that come into the show. And we had Tatum Keshwa on, I think it was last Friday, and I was saying, like, you know, people don't have the best feedback. And then she said, yeah, well, I mean, for me, it's great. I'm walking tonight with David Tlale. Sorry, Tatum.
Yes.
I'm sure you're going to be great. But a lot of the feedback you get is that it is nowhere near that international level. And a lot of people actually find it quite disappointing, the local Fashion Week scene.
Well, you know,
I've never been, so I can't comment.
And for our local designers, it's a challenge at the moment because they needing to compete with retailers such as Zara and H&M and so forth. And they need to be able to still be fashion designers. So it's not necessarily just clothing that you can get anywhere, but at a reasonable price point. Mm. And that is still quite trendy and clothing that South Africans will want to wear. And I think that they've accepted that challenge and that we can see that there's definitely a growth. Labels such as Akedo, for instance, it's incredibly trendy. It's beautiful. It's something that a modern African woman would want to wear. So I think that they've definitely stepped up their game in many ways.
Yeah, and I think you have to put into context, because a lot of people say, oh, it's, you know, it's in comparison to the international fashion weeks, our fashion weeks are boring. Well, maybe that is the case. But I mean, when you are Chanel and you have a $500 million company, you can afford to hire out Versailles if you want to. Whereas, you know, whereas here you've got to actually put it into context.
Monte Cassino, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Was anybody wearing fake tan at this year's Fashion Week?
I didn't see that much fake tan, but there were some very badly dressed members of the public who attended Fashion Week.
The peacocking thing still happens, eh? Because I was actually.
What is that? What happens?
You know, peacocking is like, they do it at international fashion shows now, and actually street bloggers or street photographers, street style photographers actually don't photograph you if you do that. Because at one stage, you know, people would come to Fashion Week, wherever in the world, and dress particularly like outrageous just so they can be photographed. Oh. So now internationally, the trend is actually to dress down, to like, to go completely in protest of that. And yeah, it's obviously not, it's not caught on here yet because of the Friday night, hubby and I were going to the movies and obviously some of the people that were from Fashion Week were in the mall. And I saw this one guy dressed like proper, like he walked off the set of some kung fu movie. He was wearing like some Chinese hat and whatever. And I've seen him before. And I just thought, you know, like, okay, but why? You know, like we know you're doing this to Peacock.
You sure he wasn't supposed to be supporting the Kung Fu Panda 3 was coming out?
maybe.
Oh, I do wish that was the case, but unfortunately, Ward is right. He was at Fashion Week.
It was peacocking. Yes, we saw him. Because I've seen him before. Yeah. And he always dresses sort of in this Asian-inspired kind of, you know.
The Vietnamese hat.
Vibes, yeah.
Okay. Well, we do need to speak about fake tan. For some reason, this is something that has come to the fore. How did this land up on the agenda today? Who was
Mary
this?
Lou.
I just found it interesting, okay?
I blame Donald Trump.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. So I read an article recently, and basically one of the fake tan companies in the US has come under fire because they were posting like those before and after pictures, or maybe like, you know when you do fake tan and there's like a bikini line, you kind of you pull that bikini away to show off like how much darker you have gone. So a lot of people are criticizing them, saying that they are selling blackface in a bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite interesting.
Hmm. I mean, like, I just thought it's just a bit absurd, but a lot of people are actually very offended by it.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, you're not necessarily changing your racial characteristics if you get a tan. No, you're just going darker.
Yeah.
So I think it is a little bit excessive to say they're selling blackface in a bottle. You know, your skin tone's just darkening. Mm. And I mean, I guess the idea of any good fake tan is that it should look the way you would look if you went into the sun anyway. You're just trying to avoid the sun.
Yeah. But you know, some people do it.
What is the point though? I've never understood this. I mean, I have the palest white skin. I'm like Edward Cullen levels of pale white skin. And lots of people in my life, even dudes have been like, yo, you need to catch a tan, bruh. And I've never understood why. Like, what's wrong with just pale skin?
A tan generally makes you look healthier. Mm-hmm. You tend to look leaner also. That's why bodybuilders will always go get a fake tan before they step on stage, because it just shows your definition better and it automatically just makes you look slimmer.
But it's like painting your body. I don't understand.
And you just look healthy.
Yeah.
Like I think it's fine if you've been to the beach for like 2 weeks, but the idea of like going into a sunbed or standing somewhere for a week, like, and then having to put your t-shirt on over that, like, and you've just been sprayed with like this orange stuff or whatever. I just don't get it.
Well, doesn't it go to the question of why anybody would want a skin tone that's not their own? So some darker people use skin lightening products to get lighter, some lighter people.
Agreed.
So I think it's just not being happy with whatever skin tone you happen to have. You have the twilight problem, other people.
It's terrible.
Have the opposite.
Have you seen Mshoza? Mshoza is a South African musician. she wanted to look like Nicki Minaj. Well, she's always had issues with, you know, skin lightening and skin bleaching and that kind of thing. I'll show you the pic now. I made headlines earlier in the week. She was getting ready for the Nicki Minaj concert. Wow. And she wanted to make her skin as light as possible. I mean, what do we even say to this?
Never mind the skin. Can we just talk about the lip fillers that have gone completely over the top?
So what's going on here? Because she clearly feels like she needs to do this. I mean, what conversation should we be having with her?
Who is this person?
So she's a South African celebrity. She used to be a big musician, and then, I don't know, she just kind of lost the plot a little. But now she's known for her skin bleaching and for her lip fillers and all of that. I mean, what do
well,
we
you know,
to say?
Well, you know, for many people of a darker skin tone, and it happens, you know, in places like Bollywood as well, there's an absolute obsession with being lighter and having a lighter skin tone and using sometimes quite extreme measures to get your skin to be lighter. And there seems to be this perception that the darker your skin is, the more unattractive that is. And then on the opposite side of that, we get the self-tanning example where light people want to be darker. So it's interesting because I almost feel like saying, well, can we not just be happy with our skin tone?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit concerned because I'm less worried about the skin tone than I am about the hair and the lips and what have you. Are you sure she's not one of the drag queens of briefcakes?
Whose topic was this? Are selfies ruining your skin?
That was mine. Yeah. I found this article online where this blogger was saying, and she has like proof of her photos and stuff. She's a blogger in London. Her name is Mehreen Beg. She's 26 years old, and she's noticed that she started getting like skin damage from taking the selfies, freckling, brown spots, pigmentation. So I don't know.
But what caused that? Is it like I don't understand what is she?
No,
saying?
I'm saying she doesn't have enough sunscreen on. That's why
exactly.
She's claiming that it was because of the selfies.
But how
the
did the selfie
HEV
do
light
that?
Or the high energy visible light is the blue light emitted by devices such as phones, laptops, and tablets. And studies have suggested it's just as harmful to skin as UVA or UVB light. So that flash.
I see.
But I kind of understand that would be plausible because the lights that we use at work for around the mirrors for when we do our makeup and the lighting in the studio is actually just as harsh as sunlight. So we need to wear sunblock, you know, even when we go indoors, like into the studio and whatever. And there's this one makeup artist who never wears sunblock. And over the years, she worked in the makeup room and she likes putting on all the lights. She's actually got pigmentation.
Oh, wow.
And and she realized afterwards it was probably because of the lights because she's always got the lights on her. So it's very real. I think it's very plausible.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe if you had taken 10,000 selfies a day, you needed to be less self-invested and maybe this was your lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I think one person can clear this up, and that's Kim Kardashian. Let's ask her.
Yeah.
Well, she looks pretty damn perfect to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then she's probably got a whole army of glam people and doctors and plastic surgeons who are, you know, on the ready.
So the answer to that is let's just put on our SPF 50 before we take a selfie.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate to say it, but I actually think Kim Kardashian's dope on Snapchat.
Yeah. I like on Snapchat. I also started following her.
What is her handle?
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, is it? I'm surprised no one took that. I mean, because
I'm sure people did, but then obviously she made a plan to get it back.
Yeah.
She was about to sue the Snapchat people, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm. I have a feeling they paid her to get onto Snapchat, but it's great to see her and Kanye, like, in the car. I don't know why that's cool, but for some reason it is. Anyway. All right, let's get to closing remarks. I'm not going to guide the narrative at all. Let's wrap this up. Let's kick it off with you, Wada. Give me the message for the next 7 days till we touch base again.
Wear sunblock because we take a lot of selfies. You don't want bad skin. The end.
Always be fabulous and fashionable.
Don't look like Donald Trump. No fake tans.
Get your teeth whitened. A great smile is everything, guys.
It is.
Power. There you go. That there is the forum. Wada Hartley, Mary Lou, Alan Foley, and Christian Samuel, thank you so much for hanging out. Yeah, it's been dope. You can catch up with all of these guys on social media. Just type in their names. It'll pop up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can follow Mary Lou's blog, which is lovemarylou.com. And fabufit.co.za is where you can find all Wada's stuff. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out.
Jay. Thanks. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.